This recording is for the meeting of the Emory County School District Board of Education, held on Wednesday, September 2nd, 2009, at Emory High School, starting at 7 p.m.
We would excuse Roy Papp, who has other prior engagements tonight. The rest of the board's present, as well as Superintendent Pritchard and Business Administrator Jared Black. So with that, we will have the Pledge of Allegiance, if you all please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We've taken care of the first Emory Telecom item, so we will go to the board action on the consent agenda, the warrants, the minutes for August 2009 meeting. Are there any questions?
I had my questions
okay.
Resolved.
I move
we have passed them as presented.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Yeah.
Okay, we have policy revisions for GDFC background check support staff.
Yeah, this is a policy that you just passed in your last meeting.
I will revise it.
But since that time, we have additional information on, in a couple of areas. One of those is that by statute, we cannot charge current employees for those background checks, at least unless they change the law. When an employee is initially employed, then it's their responsibility to provide a background check. But once they're employed, then if it's required, then we have to pay for that. So that policy, which is being changed to reflect that, and I sent you a copy of it. It also adds volunteers, which it didn't before. So it does add background checks for volunteers, which could be volunteer coaches or any volunteers who have unsupervised access to students. In other words, if there are volunteers who don't work directly in the classroom under the direction of a teacher, if they're working alone with students, then they're required to have background checks. And those background checks would be paid for by the school or out of the school budget where they ask them to volunteer. So I'll talk maybe just a little bit more about background checks in my short report, but I do recommend the board approve the revision to the policy GDFD background check support staff, and I've added the word volunteer to that also.
Okay.
Kurt, question.
Yes.
So if I go into a classroom and the teacher asks me to pull a student and read individually with him, if it's in the hall or the library or a public place,
if it's in the hallway, generally you're okay as long as the classroom door's open and the teacher's there. But if you're taking a group of kids into another room and you're working with them alone, then they should have background checks.
Okay.
By law.
That's a good thing to make them aware of.
We don't want to be in trouble. We don't have a lot of those kind of volunteers, but we do have a few.
Okay.
And the principals are aware of that.
Okay, then.
I move we accept the revision.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We have personnel actions names for approval.
Yes, and I have one that I need to add, so I'll go through that from what I have sent to you previously. Most of these, of course, are educational assistants. We wait till right at the end of the summer to do interviews and to work on that. We're trying to work on teaching staff first hour. The first one is Lucy Robinson. And this is a position that's being funded out of the Recovery and Reinvestment Act, which is Title I Special Ed, and also in an effort to meet our 350-to-1 ratio under comprehensive guidance, it accomplishes both purposes. And Lucy is just finishing her guidance counselor endorsement license, and she will be working to the special ed program with several of our schools as a counselor. So I would recommend her. Also, Krista Johnson.
One quick question. Is that a permanent or a temporary position there?
Well, it's permanent until we don't have any funds for it.
Looking for permanent. Thank you.
But it's not full-time.
Half-time. Krista Johnson, lunch worker, 2 hours a day at Kennedy Junior High. Trudy Cox, educational assistant in special ed at Santa Fe Junior High, 3 hours a day. Donette Gordon, Huntington Elementary, 3 hours a day, special ed. Katie Fabert, Bookcliff Elementary, 3 hours a day, special ed. We had a number of educator assistants who left us this past year, needed replacements. Antonella Funk, kindergarten extended day education assistant at Farron Elementary, 3 hours a day. Casey Jill Healy, library educational assistant, 3 hours a day at Farron. Jennifer Jorgensen, who will be our aide with our construction program, Emory High School. Or through the Applied Technology College, Cheryl Ungerman. Cheryl's been working with us on a kind of a substitute basis, replacement for a position at Canyon View that's being made permanent. Can't give you all the background there, but we had someone leave us partway through the year, and so we brought someone in to sub, and we're just making that permanent position, not a permanent position, but in that position a permanent assignment. And then added to that is Kathy Brady, Green River High School counselor, educational assistant, 3 hours a day. So I would recommend to the board that these individuals be appointed to those positions in the school district.
I would move that we appoint them to those positions.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
How did you say you had nothing to add?
We have approval of high school athletic schedule.
Yes, and I sent those to you. Mm-hmm. What we have so far, some of them did not, as of yet, have their non-region games listed. We have gone through preliminary and looked at the mileage report. The mileage on those, they are under the mileage that's basically at this point. But again, we don't have all of the non-region games, but all of them that we have looked at are under the mileage. We're monitoring that, and I think we're okay with that. But the board does need to approve the athletic schedules. Actually, what the board needs to approve is any trips over 150 miles one way, but in order to avoid having to worry a lot about it, we just have to approve the whole schedule. So those are the schedules as we have them right now, and Gwen has been through them, I've been through them, and I would recommend the board approve those athletic schedules.
Is this Desert Hills, is that in St. George?
Yes.
It is, okay.
It is a decrease in mileage?
Actually, it is.
And the non-regional games won't make it about that.
Most of them have the region games on there. There's just a few sports that don't yet.
Okay.
Some of the later sports.
All right.
They know what their mileage allotment is.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
I move that we accept that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We have a request for family or medical leave.
I'm going to let Jared take care of that and get the application.
We received an application from Jesse Ward at Huntington Elementary School for family medical leave to take care of her baby that she's planning on having in a couple weeks, about 3 weeks. She does qualify for FMLA based on hours worked in the past year, so by law we are required to allow that. We'd like to get board approval anyway. It looks like her expected date of return would be 12/14/09, which would probably be, I'm guessing that's the full 12 weeks that are allowed by law.
So who's replacing her?
I don't know who the replacement is.
Okay. And I can't answer that either.
Right.
I'm not sure that they've got one yet.
Because that's a significant amount of time.
They don't have a lot.
What grade did she, do you remember?
What grade did she teach you?
Jesse.
ward.
Well, I
would
make a motion that we approve
for
the
use. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We have a request for waiver of fees for rental of the Emory High School auditorium.
Jared will take care of that. Okay. We briefly discussed this last month, and Principal Davis sent over a request from the Mine Workers Association about using the auditorium and cafeteria on December 19th. But a fee waiver does require board approval, so we needed to put it on the agenda for this month.
Okay.
Do you have any other questions about it?
No, I think that's a good thing for it to be used for. Okay, is there a motion?
I move that we waive the fee.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Up here. Then we have, sorry.
Principal's report.
Principal's report. Okay.
Okay. Here it is.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is this you?
I can't move that fast, especially in the car.
I get crushed up over there.
That's Sabrina. I appreciate the opportunity to meet with the board tonight, talk a little bit about our school. I've not had a board meeting at one of my schools this early in the school year, so it's a little different. Things are not quite settled, and we're still juggling numbers and things, so some of the things that I've had in the past aren't available yet, but we are off to a great start, and we've pretty much finished registration. Things have calmed down there, and the classes have moved things around and got the furnishings and things that they need, the textbooks. And so we are definitely moving forward. I included some of the more traditional components of our school, our mission statement. We try and work everything that is important and meaningful to our school around that mission statement. The DIRSOLs, or desired results for student learning, have also been well established in recent years. And the focus there is on literacy with reading and writing. Also in math, which is a more recent addition to the DIRSOLs, and the integrity program, which was established 2 years ago, and is now to the point where we have a integrity program that's been approved by the faculty and also by the community council at the start of this school year. So we're going to start initiating a program that involves integrity, especially as it relates to academics. And it'll be interesting to see how our students respond to that. It will also involve faculty, of course, staff, and parents. Some of the administrative goals that I've established going into this year, the first one is to apply relevant data toward improving instruction and designing academic enhancement programs for students academically at risk, while providing training for teachers necessary to improve their practice. I think we have, through our homework program and through our professional development program, components of this that are going to help both students and teachers. The second one is continue to update technology in the classroom, make a lot of improvements in recent years, especially adding smart boards. We've got 9 smart boards in our school now. And the teachers are using those. We have training in the first year for those teachers so they're able to apply that technology in their classrooms. And that includes our resource classrooms as well. Address cultural needs in order to improve work ethics, create teamwork and collegiality, feel pride in the school, get support for policies, rules, procedures, establish a feeling of security and well-being, and make the school a community learning center. Those are all very important to me as the administrator, and I think they are being embraced by the faculty and by the parents and the students as well. And then also continued efforts toward making Emory High School drug-free, tobacco-free, and alcohol-free. The demographic comparison from last year to this year, the number in parentheses is the number of students that we have enrolled in those classes this year. The other number for 2009-2010 is what we had expected. So it's up a little bit. I would add that under the sophomores for 2009-2010, those numbers need to be switched. We currently have 136 sophomores. We were anticipating 123, so we have quite a few sophomores move in. For a total as of today, 447 students. We were anticipating 452. And that's up, down 16 from last year. We expect it to be down, but we expect it to be down a little bit more than that. Faculty and staff hasn't changed too much. We are down one full classroom teacher. We have one less custodian, one half less assistant principal. So that's our staff, and we are, as Kurt has reminded us very often, we are making it work. It is an amazing group of people, and they are making sacrifices. Our class sizes are bigger, but we knew that going in, and I believe that we are still able to offer students a wide variety of classes. We don't have a lot of wiggle room, but they understand that, and our counseling department has work miracles down there, getting schedules together, getting students in classes that they need towards graduation and moving forward. Fee waiver is pretty close to where we were last year. It's actually gone down a little bit, and it's only 9%, which is, I think, a pretty respectable figure. The dollar value there is money, of course, we'll have to somehow absorb, but we do manage to do that, and no student goes without the supplies or the equipment or the clothing that they need in any of the classes or programs. Larry, on your numbers up there, I think the totals are also reversed. I think the 452 is what you have.
Yes,
thanks
for pointing that out. This photograph on the last page, I stepped out in front of the building on Monday.
Pretty.
I got through the smoke. That was a smoky day, but anyway, it was kind of interesting. Just a few noteworthy things I'd like to touch on. Regarding No Child Left Behind and UTAS, we are currently disaggregating the data we just got this week, going through that. And developing an AYQ plan, especially as it relates to math. I had met with Dr. White over here three or four times. Dr. White, we've been spending a lot of time together, but we are committed to improving those math scores, doing what is necessary. I've gone through all of the individual scores and I've compiled some data that I'll present to the math department next Tuesday, and we will begin the process of putting together a program that we think will improve those math scores. We also have, regarding math, the math club was started last year by Josh and a dedicated bunch of students. I added it on this year because it is expanding into a peer tutoring program as well, where Josh will be training students to tutor other students.
Wonderful.
And it's not just in math, but they'll be trained to tutor those students in all disciplines. It's an excellent program, and there's a lot of interest in it. We will use those peer tutors in our after school homework program, and also in some cases for some of our 504 programs with students that need a lot of extra help. So we appreciate Josh's work on that. The homework class that I mentioned held every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in the library after school. We started it yesterday. We had about 20 kids in here yesterday and about 15 in here tonight doing homework. A lot of them are on our new computers in here working on A-plus credit recovery, which is an amazing program. We appreciate the district office getting that here. We had it at adult high school only last year, and we were sending quite a few kids over there, but now we have it here in the school. And one of the real advantages of that is that those students don't have to repeat classes. And where we're so tight as it is, then we don't have to put those students back on the rolls.
Oh, that's great.
And we don't have to shuffle them in for a quarter of a credit and move them somewhere else. So it's really helped out in our scheduling process. The capital outlay project, in addition to the new computers that I mentioned, the track has been finished. That was done before school started. It's a beautiful facility, state of the art, as far as I can tell. And we have used that for some new purposes cross country, and in the spring we'll have a track program out there. So it's been a very nice upgrade for us. And also, we are completing the installation of surveillance cameras. We have 64 cameras. We have probably 45 or 50 of them installed now. And that fact that they're here, I think that alone has been a deterrent to problems. But will also help us in the event that we do have some problems and need to pull up some evidence. So we appreciate Willie Frisby putting in the time to get those installed. It's not easy crawling under ground and up there. He's not as young as he used to be either, but
apparently he is.
I just told him to make sure he tells somebody where he's going.
Yeah.
We don't find him 3 years from now.
Kind of a mixed bag here. 9 of 11 passed that, and when you pass, it's based on a 4 scale. You pass with 3 or 4, and then you can get college credit for that, and of course reimbursement from the district on the fee. 9 of 11 passing, we split in competition or composition. 11 of 15 passed the English language composition. 10 of 14 passed the calculus. Those are all very impressive.
That
right
is
there.
That is.
They are, when you consider that the typical pass rate of AP tests is about 60%.
Yeah.
Those are exceptional.
They are.
That's a real tribute to those teachers.
Calculus. Wow. Yeah. That's gone way up.
The other one, 18 of 83 in U.S. history. Now, that's Mr. Peacock's class, and he has had a little different philosophy. we want every single one of the students in those classrooms to take the test. The numbers are a little bit deceiving, I guess, because of that. Neil and I have had discussion about this, and we may be shifting that philosophy a little bit in the future. Now, this year, he's teaching AP European History. We alternate those classes every year, so it'll be different. But he's examining that and may adjust it a little bit. On faculty bi-monthly meetings, these are the departmental meetings every other week. And those have really helped, especially this time of year when we're going through a lot of core data. Professional development, we have two mainline programs. One is PD360, which is an online professional development program. PD stands for Professional Development, 360 meaning the whole cycle of programs. We started that last year at the Monday after school, and we would have anywhere from 8 to maybe 14 teachers attend that each Monday. So that was a pretty successful program. We're continuing this issue. We've also added web chair for teachers, which is an online program on our website. And that's one that I developed with a lot of summary information, a lot of essay. It includes philosophies of educational practitioners that the district has embraced. Morgano being one, Madeline Hunter being another. And the faculty can go in and work on those projects at their own schedule, on their own schedule, at their own time. It's not being at a certain place at a certain time. They like that flexibility. And then they respond to the program by emailing me a short reflection on the reading. The LML newsletter is a bi-monthly publication that I send out to the faculty, and then I post it on our web page. We also have, this will be the second year that we have gotten the school newspaper's Heart and Shield going, and good thing about that is it's always extracurricular, and they have a staff over 20 students involved, and they publish quarterly. We have a block scheduling committee reactivated last year. That's still active. We're continuing our research on that. This year we plan on doing some site visits, some school visits to see what some of the other schools with similar demographics are doing. Ninth grade orientation. We've always done an orientation inviting ninth graders and parents to Emory High in the evening. This year we want to bring them over for half a day, have them spend half a day here at the high school to more fully experience high school. We'll do this on the day that the seniors are all gone, so that it doesn't create a crowded environment. And I have talked to Mr. Jones and Mr. Johnson, who've got this scheduled, so we're looking forward to doing that in the spring. We have Safety Week coming up right after Labor Day, 4 days after Labor Day. We drill each day. I like to put those all together and really put an emphasis on being prepared and emergency management. We have drills, fire drills, gaslight drills, earthquake drills, and then we do a lockdown. We don't plan on doing an extensive drill with the Sheriff's Department this year. We kind of do those every year. We had a very successful one last year. Learned a lot. We used the new maintenance building as our off-campus evacuation point, and that worked out very well. We have student handbook, student planners. We want to try that, see if that's going to work. Put the calendar, include our policy manual. It should be part of our learning strategies, grading criteria as well. I encourage teachers to check those planners, make sure students are keeping them updated. And finally, the Nuestra Casa, which means our house, is a reward program. We have a need to give positive feedback to our students who are doing well in a lot of areas. Components of that are academic, attendance, citizenship, and school service. They can accumulate points towards qualifying for the New Esther CASA program. Those that do will be rewarded at the end of the term. I put the student council in charge of planning the activities for those students. And so it is something that we need to counterbalance the punishment and the rules, all of these procedures that were pretty heavy on. So pretty happy about that. We adopted that towards the end of last year. So again, I appreciate all of the support from the board, from the district office. It's a gift to be able to work here. Some days better than others.
Good, because we're not paying you this year.
That's your gift to me.
Well, your gift to school district.
But if you have any questions or anything that you'd like me to expand on, I'd be happy to do that.
I have a request.
Yeah.
I wondered if you possibly could drop some of the school newspapers, some of those copies off at the district office, and we could get them in our board meeting the next following.
I should mention, and maybe it's in here, I'm not sure, but we have the web page now, the school website.
Which is
it on there?
It is.
Oh, okay.
www.emorycsu.org. Yeah, I think I put it in here.
CSU.
Yeah, that'll take you to the district site, okay. And then there's a school.
And it's updated, because it's updated now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And I put the newsletter on there.
Okay.
When we publish those newspapers, I'll put that on there.
Good.
As well. But I will drop some off the district office. I don't know if they will be here or not.
That's the one I thought was nice to read that. That's really.
It is nice.
It is, to see what's going on. And thank you for your report. That's very helpful for us to know what's going on, and we get a sense of your attitude, which is very positive, and there's, you know, a lot of quality teaching going on, and we appreciate it. Pass that on to your, your staff, and thank you for all that you do. And know that Emory High is in good hands. We will go ahead and go to the superintendent's report.
Okay, just a few brief items. The enrollment report that I sent to you. This is interesting. We did start the year last year with one more student than we had the year before. But this is really the first year that we have seen any significant growth in our school district in 20 years.
Yeah, that is great.
Our peak enrollment was in 1989, I believe. And we are beginning the day one report that we received showed us up 72 students district wide over the October of 2008 enrollment, which is a real positive sign. Our elementaries are growing. The growth in our secondary schools is now just starting into 10th grade. Or actually, the dip is starting in the 10th grade.
We can't get those numbers right.
No, not that I can. The growth for the secondary schools is now in the 7th grade. And they will continue to see that growth. And Emory High will see the decline for the next 3 years. And then hopefully we will be growing as a district all the way through. But it's a good sign for us, as far as growth in our school district. Economic comes at a good time with economic conditions, but it's still makes it very difficult, because even though you're now starting to see growth, you're not able to do a lot of hiring because of the economy the way it is. So what it really relates to is increased class sizes at this point. We're not going to tonight depress you with all of the legislature coming up and what they're facing. We've already had that discussion. So we'll just talk about the good news of enrollment tonight. Jed has put together also, gave you two pages. One is basically shows the history from about 1993 to the current year, and also from that same period of time, our declining enrollments. And you can see from this graph that just slight uphill turn
yeah.
this last year. So, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
So, that's good news. Also, I'd like to let you know, I think I may have mentioned it before, but Cleveland, we were waiting for AYP results, which are not yet public, but Cleveland Elementary is simply because they're being nationally recognized. Cleveland Elementary is one of the national blue ribbon schools under No Child Left Behind this year. Cassadale Elementary had that recognition a couple of years ago. Cleveland Elementary is being recognized for their outstanding work in student achievement over the last 2 years. The principal and one of the teachers will be going to Washington, D.C. in November to receive that recognition and that award, and we'd like to congratulate the faculty and staff at Cleveland Elementary for that recognition. And so we'll report that to you tonight with that congratulations to them for the work they're doing with student achievement. And I think that's good news, great news for our school district. Just a little bit more on the background check. I attached to your my report tonight a memo that went out to all support staff, employees. As I reported to you before, we are now required to have background checks done on all employees and volunteers. Licensed staff will be done at the time that they relicense. So every time we have a teacher or administrator who relicenses, when their license is up every 5 years, and they do that, they will be required to go through an additional background check at that time. But support staff, state board rule requires that all support staff and volunteers, particularly coaches, be done at least once every 6 years. Now, we can do it more often, but at least every 6 years. And what we have done is basically placed all of our support staff on a 6-year rotation, and very simply indicated we went down through the list and divided it up, and if your last name begins with A or B, you're this year. And you can see the rotation on the memo that we've set up. This year we're doing all non-licensed coaches or extracurricular advisors, like drill team cheerleaders, and also our any volunteers. So this year's list is a little bit longer than most. We have a fingerprint scanning machine at the service center in Price. The State Office of Education purchased 20 of them several years ago. They did place one in each of the regional service centers. That's where we've had our background checks done on new hires, but we have set up a schedule with the service center to have that scanner in our district office a week in September, October, and November, and also one day down in Green River so that our employees don't have to travel to Price for those background checks.
What is the cost?
Right now the cost of a background check is $20. BCI charges has been charging $10, and then the service center has been charging $10 because there is a service fee on that scanner that's about $1,000 a year. So that's helped to cover the cost of that, but the three school districts that will be using that scanner will now pick up the cost of that $1,000. We'll divide it up between us. The idea is that we will not charge employees for these background checks except the initial one that they get when they're first hired. They'll have to pay the cost of that. BCI is going to increase their cost, I think, by $5, so it will cost $15. BCI will bill us $15 for each background check. So there will be a cost to the district. I anticipate it to be in the neighborhood of $1,500 to $2,000 per year to do the background check. So we will have some people at the district office who will be trained to do those scans, and we'll do that training that first week, that week of September 21st, and it just so happens that a couple of people in the district office, the name is begin with A, so we'll train on them. And I think Gwen and John's license are up this year, we might train on them too. We will have a scanner a week sometime in January that we will do license We'll have probably 15 or 20 of our licensed employees whose license expires this year, and we'll set up the scanner there so they can be done here at the district office. So we did have the scanning machine here at Emory High School on Monday, I believe it was. And we were able to do most of our coaches at that time, and advisors. And it will be in Green River on September 10th to pick up employees down there. But I wanted you to know what we were doing there with background checks in case you have questions. And that's the memo that would go out to all of our non-licensed employees. So I believe that's all I have that I need to report.
We'll have the business administrator's report.
Just to make you aware, we're having some discussions with risk management right now about the south wall of the old gymnasium at Green River High School. I don't know if you've been down there and seen it before, but it has some cracking along the wall. And there's concern it's getting bigger and we need to do something with it. So we're putting a claim into risk management, taking some pictures. Their engineer came down and had a look at it. Felt like it was time to probably look at possibly repairing that. So that's in the process.
Now,
we don't
remember,
know
this is the old gym, not the new one.
Right.
Now,
right.
You recall, probably 5 or 6 years ago, we did have an engineer look at that and determined that it had something to do with those pylons that are underneath that gym.
Yeah.
Huge pillars that were put in there to keep that from shifting. And it seems like we did some things that year, but not major kind of things. So they're talking about maybe we're going to have to look at some major kind of things.
When he looked at it again this week, that was his feeling, was that those caissons, pylons, had failed. And so it will probably be a pretty extensive project depending on what we decide to do. That'll be coming up in the next month or two. And that's all I have.
Okay, do we have public comments at all? Are there items for closed meeting?
We do not.
Then we
move.
It's in order.
I didn't even say
it. I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Oh no.
Larry did have some treats over here.
Oh, thank you, Larry.
That we'd like, and I'm sure any of you out there that would like to wait signatures before you leave.
So do you just need
what about this?
At the bottom.
Oh, in the box.
In the box.
Oh, okay.
Now, have any of you ever done the reimbursement?
No, I didn't.
Okay. If you
want, you've been eyeing that out since you got
it. I don't know either.
What it is it allows you to
take water your house,
pre-tax, and put it into an account that you can use to pay for medical expenses during the year. It actually does save you about 30% to 40% of that amount of money.
So you have to anticipate how much you're going to need?
What was that?
You have to anticipate how much you're going
to
need?
You do. You have 15 months to spend it.
Okay.
So it goes from September 1st until November 30th of the next year. If you don't spend it by then, you lose it. So you want to estimate conservatively.
So if you have secondary,
if you do use it, it's really worth it.
You probably don't.
You don't anticipate any.
Okay.
But if you think you will spend it, it's absolutely worth it.
I won't ask scanning.
No, I would ask. Yeah.
Okay, it's pre-tax. So where your savings are actually when you file your taxes, it means that about 30% of that amount.
Okay.
You'll have less taxes to pay, or you'll get a refund that amount higher.
Yes.
That's where the actual savings is. So
yeah,
it's taken out of your paycheck on a pre-tax basis.
This is what will be
reported.
Taken out. So you need to sign it. I'm talking about this flexible spending. If you know that you're going to have a surgery, you can put some money into flex spending, and it's non-tax. So you can take that
30%.
But if you don't use it within 15
months, you sign up for a monthly amount. So if you want to buy a
quote,
you
can
sign up for $100 a month.
Now we're taking off your
head. I would have that.
But starting right now, you'd have access to all $1,200 of those dollars. So each batch will use them all at once, and you kind of get paying for them.
Jared? I'm sorry. No, so I'm asking if a person would have a
habitat. Yep.
If you knew, yes. Now, what if can you use it for dental and
dental as well? Huh? Oh, that would be worth it.
You can also use it for most over-the-counter medications. So if you have to go get it.
Tomorrow, Utah and Utah State, tomorrow night.
And if you're thinking about it, you know, you still have a week or two to let us know. But we also have a sheet that you can look at that shows you kind of all of the expenditures that qualify. But pretty much if it's medically related, it qualifies.
And is it a bookkeeping nightmare to be able to use? That's
always
been my concern.
You do have to turn your receipts in to get reimbursement. This year is the first year we're doing a debit card option, which gives you access to that account just with a debit card. But you can only use it at, you know, certain places like Walmart, Kmart, Target, and only for certain items. So for some things, you would still have to keep your receipts and send them in.
Thank you. I forget.
I
lose
my name. Okay. I just need your signature there. We need a copy of medical bill, the bill from the office.
Yeah, that's true.
We have this up here. This is called flexible spending. It's a reimbursement area, flexible spending, where you can set aside money.
You're not going to
We got to mid-year.
I'm thinking it's about $31 a month.
And we were told there's 20 more counties. So we split the first day.
Would you say?
And they dropped 24/10.
I think we have 6 minutes.
When I get back to the office, I will email the first of you a document. There's actually two different options. So if you look at the bottom, you can see one a little more expensive and has a little bit better of a benefit.
I'd like
We're leaving alone.
Well, I need to because in the last year, my vision has gone from, I had like 20/10. I mean, I could see perfectly. And now it's totally blurry.
Really? Well, I think that I had the right plan. I thought when I was a kid and I had to get glasses, I thought when we got older and everybody's eyes changed, it just corrected those of us who were nearsighted children. So we didn't have to wear glasses when we got older. Don't you think that would have been a better idea? It would have been much more fair.
And we don't need that on here.
Okay.
There's a program, USDA Flex, allows you to set aside money. So from the small amount that you get for being a board member, you can put some of that into an account that you can use to pay for medical expenses throughout the year. The benefit of that is that it's done on a pre-tax basis. So the amount that you take out is not counted as income.
Before you guys go,
when
you
file your
tax return, I will
keep down. So you have less income to report, and
you
pay less taxes. So it saves you about 30% on the amount that you pull out. And then you have to keep receipts of your medical expenses and then send them into this company as often as you'd like. And then they send you a check out of your account to reimburse you for it.
So say if I put $100 a month in there, I go get $50 for a prescription, I can send them a bill.
I don't know if this may not be
you
back
can
at
send
all
them the $50 each month, or you could save up 3 or 6 months and send it in like that, and they'll send you a check, and you save about 30% of that amount.
You mind? You can just tell me what it is.
So it may be worth it. If you want to try it out for a year, we can help you you know.
Okay, now I'm not as lead what would I put?
Well, you need to decide how much you want to put in.
Oh, say I put 100 a month or 100, you know, it doesn't matter.
That would be 1,200 a year.
So do you put it in or do I have to mail it in?
You would need to send in your receipt.
No, I mean,
but we take the money out of your check.
Okay,
yeah, we'll
okay.
do that automatically. Okay. You don't have to worry about that.
Do you pay out of your pocket $1,200 a year in medical expenses, Sam?
This year, my wife on dental. Yes.
Because you want to make sure you don't put more in than what you would.
We maxed, and she had to pay on one dental visit around $600.
Yeah, the one thing to keep in mind is that you have 15 months to spend the money, or you lose it.
Okay, but
so you don't want to overestimate what you'll need.
So if I can see I'm getting too much in, can I not pay? Or you have to keep paying
well,
that much?
When you sign up here,
it commits you for 12 months.
For 12 months.
Take that amount out of your check for 12 months. But you do have access to the total amount right up front.
Mm-hmm.
So if you did 100 a month, as soon as your account got set up, you'd have access to $1,200 for reimbursement, and it would just come out $100 a month from your paycheck.
Well, you may want to try $50 a month for the first year and see how it works.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that okay. So what do I do? Where do I put that?
You just put that right here at the top. And then what's going to happen, we'll get you signed up, and they're going to send you a packet of information. Just read through what they send you. It'll have a reimbursement form and explain how to send in for reimbursement and all of that. But if you have any questions, just give me a call.
Okay.
Well, all right.
Let's start with the hat. I hope I'm not going to go have surgery or...
Well, see, that's $600 a year. You'll be saving, you know, $200 on your taxes.
Yeah.
So it's definitely worth it.
Yeah.
In fact, the more I think about it, the higher I go with my amount.
I do 100. I think I did 100 last year. 150.